Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my dear friend and yours, Mr. Vin Forte.
What's going on, PCMC Universe?
Vin, how are you coming in hot?
I am feeling hot. It's another scorcher.
It's another scorcher. Yeah. The humidity. It's the humidity that gets you.
Yeah. I used to do a comedy show in the city called The Special with Brett Davis, and we had Richard Kind on one week.
Yeah.
And I saw him outside when it was the middle of summer in New York City, and he's talking to someone on his cell phone, and he's like, it's the humidity. It's heat and humidity. There's a difference. And he's like yelling at this person about the difference between heat and humidity, which is exactly the Richard Kind you want to see.
That's incredible. How close did you get to him? Did you work with him at all?
I just got to say hi to him.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He's a very nice guy. He was a sweetheart.
That's what they say. I mean, he's gotta be, right?
Oh, he's gotta. No, if you heard, how crestfallen would you be? If he were a dick, if like someone was like, oh, Mr. Kind, I loved you in Spin City. Get out of my face, dick.
One of the best castings of anything ever was on that Gotham show. They had him as the mayor of Gotham City, which is so smart to like have the mayor be this oblivious, well-meaning, but moronic guy. Like, it just
regardless of the quality of the actual show, is it fair to say that Gotham show, maybe some of the best casting in the Batman in a Batman show ever?
Let me tell you, I think that show started off very strong. Kind of constantly retconned itself and went in crazy directions, but I thought that show was good in the beginning.
Well, in the beginning, you know what? It did the exact thing I didn't want it to, which is so Bruce Wayne is in it in the beginning as a kid.
Right.
And the whole thing is, you know, his parents are gunned down, whatever, you know, but he's in it. And as the show goes on and on, he becomes a bigger part of it.
Yes.
And it's like, nah, but this show was billed what I wanted this show to be. And they didn't have to do this exact thing, but in essence, I wanted it to be a world without Batman, where it's what if you had Batman's villains, but you know, Jim Gordon and Harvey Bullock, they have to figure out how to defeat these villains in a world without Batman.
Yeah.
Where Batman never existed.
Right. That's what I think maybe in the beginning, that's kind of what they wanted, but eventually they brought in everybody. But then they would be like,
he's the Joker. You know, he's not the Joker.
Right. And Smallville did that a lot too.
Oh yeah. By the end, Smallville, not even by the end, by like several seasons in.
It's like, is this guy Brainiac? No, it's not. Oh, maybe it is. Oh, no, it's not. You know, and they did that, like you said, they did with the Joker. On our last episode, we were talking about Scooby-Doo, and I didn't bring this up, but you and I are both, we both use the Conqueror virtual
They have a challenges. Scooby-Doo thing on there.
I started it today, baby.
Really?
Yeah, because I was doing the 3-pack. For if you don't know, Conqueror app, I talked about it on the podcast before. It is the app is a virtual challenge. It's a, you know, distance challenge. So running, walking, cycling, whatever you want to do. I mostly walk and elliptical. They have all these fun, really fun medals that are like really heavy, like good medals. Oh,
yeah, these are like really solid, like real medals. Yeah.
And they always have some moving part.
Yeah, like this one I have has like a center in it.
Yeah.
And you can like, it's a little clunky, but like you can take out the center and there's an engraved little design in there. Like,
yeah, I have two. So I did 3 Star Trek ones. And the third one I haven't gotten yet because I just finished it yesterday. But one of them, like, it has a little Enterprise in it, but you could take the Enterprise out. Like, so there's always cool shit. Like, and then there's another one that's the Gorn. And it's like, you see a ship with the Gorn in it or with like, it's got like a window in it and like it's kind of like got this ice. It's based on a specific episode, so it's like this episode with the Gorn. But you can open up the window and see the Gorn inside. See a little Gorn guy. So anyway, I'm starting the Scooby-Doo one. I'm very excited.
Oh, I love it. I've been loving the Conqueror Challenge. I'm doing Tokyo right now.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're doing the real things. I do all the stupid pop culture things.
But see, when you do the real things, what you can do, you should do one of the real ones.
Uh-huh.
Because what the app has something cool in it where you can, you know what it shows you? I don't know if it does it for the gimmick ones too, but it shows you
distance?
Like a satellite map.
Yes, yes. It does that for the silly ones too.
Yes, but in the real ones, it can sync up. It basically, like, you hit a button and it turns into Google Maps.
So you can see, like, actual distance if you were really doing it.
Like, where you are on the map. If you wanted to, you could, because you can check where you are on the map and it will bring you to that place in, like, Google Street View.
Wow.
In the app. Inside the app. So, like, if you really wanted to, you could walk around with your phone in front of your face and be like, I'm walking around Tokyo, and, like, literally see your path throughout Tokyo, like, as you would POV.
That's really cool. I'll eventually get there because I really like doing this. I find it very motivating, and I love merch, and I like the idea of earning merch.
Yeah.
They just started, like, doing artists. Like, there's a Van Gogh one and a Frida Kahlo one and a Klimt one. Gustav Klimt. So I'm working my way through. So I'm having, but we're having fun with it. It's a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
So how are you otherwise?
I'm good. I just got back from a mini vacation to visit my cousins in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And one of the things I finally got to do that I have been, it's one of those things that, like, it's something you want to do, but, like, you can't have it in your back pocket. No, I wish. I went to a dead mall.
Ooh.
And that was really fun. The South Mall, if you're ever in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's small. It's not a huge mall, but it's pretty dead. I'm going to send you a picture.
How many empty storefronts do you see?
There were quite a few. There were a lot.
So the was there any other foot traffic besides you?
Mall walkers. Just older people. There were a couple places, like, in the front of the mall that were, like it was, like, a pizzeria and a hot dog place.
Yeah.
That were open. But, like, that was it. And then there was, like, an arcade. But then someone told me, like, it was like seeing an oasis. With, like, oh, my God, like, this arcade.
Wow.
And someone was like, oh, yeah, no, that arcade's closing down in, like, a month. Like,
of course.
There's, like,
it's really like seeing the death of what we were told modernity would be. Because, like, this was supposed to be the new town square. This was supposed to be the new bazaar in our world. And now it's just empty shells.
So I just sent you a photo. Actually, no, I just sent it to Emilio by accident. I'm going to send you a photo that basically epitomizes how stuck in time this mall is. And two, just how, like, dead and empty it is. Like, this is like the back. This is like the back room.
Dead,
like,
and empty. What is it? My heart.
Like, if this was the back rooms, like, this is, like, this is it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is the back rooms.
It's basically why.
Look at the floor tiles, man.
Yeah, it's like old floor tiles, like faded pink and teal, like Formica tables.
This is like this. This is from 1986.
And behind the, because it's just like a big space in the mall where they got some tables set up for you to eat, but no one's sitting out there. It's completely empty.
Yeah.
Teal and very faded pink Formica tables. And then in the background is a very faded sign for a day spa.
Yeah. With nothing. Oh, geez. Wow. Yeah, man. That's awesome.
There were like,
did you go by yourself or did you go with anybody?
Oh, I just went. I went by myself. I had a couple hours to kill, so I was like,
Were you mall walking for your Conquer app?
Yes, I was.
That's got to be the next one. Come on, Conquer app. Do back rooms.
Yeah, here. Let me send you a couple more because, like, this was really, like, you want to see faded '90s ephemera. Yeah, I'll even throw in this like, there was a comic book store that was closed.
Yeah,
but it would have opened if I had stayed longer. I kind of wish I had, because, like, this looks like a relic of, like, something you would see in, like, fucking Mallrats.
You know what I've always wanted to do an episode on? The Tim and Eric movie. Because it's about this.
That is, yes.
It's about this. Dino's Pizzateria. Wow.
Look at there's, like, five different fonts on that directory sign.
I know. South Mall. Oh, that's some Comic Sans up top, huh?
Yeah. What's not even Comic Sans? It's, like, that wacky, like, Clapsley Coopsa, like the fucking
oh, yeah,
the logo at the end of Rugrats and, like, all those shows.
Jeez. What's this? Dragon Knight? The fuck is
Yeah,
that?
that was like a comic book store.
But it's closed.
But it's closed. But if
What
you
time
look
of day
very
did you go?
closely, I went at like 10:30 in the morning.
But the mall was open.
The mall was open, but stores were not. And this was on a Saturday.
So do you was this the would this store have gotten open, or do you think it's just not open?
No, it's open because there's like, if you zoom in, there's like stuff inside the store. And then if you zoom in even closer, like through the grate, like
You
there's
see an
little lights
entity.
on in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see the bye-bye man.
Wow. That is crazy.
But it all looked, but like it was an aggressively 90s mall.
Wow. Yes, I could see that. I could see that. That's fun, man. That is fun.
That's fun. And then, you know, it was right outside the mall. A
What?
Taco Bell.
Yeah, I love some Taco Bell.
The standalone Taco Bell. Ugh.
They got some new variation on the Mexican pizza, but it seems to be very reliant on like verde sauce, and I'm not a big fan of that.
I'm not a fan of the verde. I know what you're talking about. I saw it because Taco Bell, I don't eat. I've cut out mostly all fast food.
Nice.
I say mostly because Taco Bell is like the one place where it's like, if you have a craving, that will hit the spot and not completely blow up your day
Yeah.
or whatever you're going for.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm not even doing like rice and beans, but I'll go, like, I went there that day and was just like, yeah, give me like a bunch of like chicken and steak and like, you know, cheese and lettuce, tomato, sour cream or whatever. And just
nice.
I'll put some hot sauce on it and you're good to go.
All right, let's mosey on over to the trailer corner. We're looking at four trailers today. Let's talk about Wonka's Golden Ticket.
Hated it.
Tell me about it.
It looked like if you didn't already know from the trailer that this was like a Netflix production and you just watched it sight unseen and someone said, where is this airing? You go Netflix.
Right. That's a very interesting point. Yes.
It's got that very cheap looking but very like bright Netflix house style that they seem to have.
And it's not clear what it is. They say it's a challenge. It looks like a reality show or a game show, but we're in Willy Wonka's factory and it's trying very hard to look like the Gene Wilder movie.
And who's playing Willy Wonka?
All right, so this is what's crazy. In the trailer, it sounds like just some guy doing a high-pitched voice.
Right.
But I read that Gene Wilder's family has said they could use AI to do his voice.
Oh, I don't like that.
No, I don't like that either. I also don't like that Val Kilmer, that new Val Kilmer movie with him in it, AI.
But the Gene Wilder one especially, it's like, this was a property based on a book.
Yeah.
And his version of it was one interpretation of that book. It does not need to be like, I don't like the Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
But I give it all the credit in the world for doing something completely different and sticking more to the book.
Let me tell you
like,
something.
Dude,
I liked that Timothy Chalamet movie. I liked it.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to say it, man. No, I just don't fucking like AI, man. I know this comes up all the time, PCMC, and of course it does. But like, this is like what we don't need AI for. Because you know what? Even if it sounds like him, he was an artist. He was an actor. He was making choices with his voice. He's not, it's not him. He's not making choices.
He is dead. I don't
Yes.
care if it's his, I frankly, I don't care if it's his family. He himself cannot consent to this.
Yeah. And that's, by the way, what they always do now with the marketing.
Yes.
They always go, oh, his family told, get, like, I don't give
Great.
A shit
you
that
gave
his
the,
family
you
gave
gave the
you.
Family $2 million and they said yes.
Yeah. Right.
I might.
No, I don't care.
Admittedly, I might. If you came to me and said, like, we're going to reanimate your grandma in AI because we need her for something, here's $5 million. I would go, okay, I'll live with it.
Because
I don't
who's
like
the,
it, but I will live
Because there's
with
no
it.
Victim other than like art.
Yeah.
Like, right? And then you walk away with some money. No, it's bullshit. But I,
and
but
can we
so
stop with all the fucking AI flyers? They look exactly the same.
Oh, they're
you're
horrible.
Not fucking fooling everyone.
They're horrible.
Same fucking frayed.
But Vin, what is the gameplay of this show?
I don't know. Like, are people gonna die? Are they gonna like?
Well, they do see people are eliminated, and I guess
yeah.
you're gonna get eliminated in a way where they do a little oopta loompa song.
Are they gonna? Okay, so that's the other thing I wanted to know.
Yeah.
Are there gonna be actual Oompa Loompas? Like, are they gonna?
It will be actual little people playing them, or will it be CG little people, or
will just be Deep Roy again?
Deep Roy. No, it's not going to be Deep Roy, because it's trying. It seems to be very much trying to look like the Gene Wilder movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the room itself looks like the room when he opens up, and it's like the Chocolate River and that whole
thing. I feel like this could be a cool idea if it were like Legends of the Hidden Temple, but I feel like it's probably more going to be like a fucking escape room. You know what I mean? Like something really lame.
Oh,
like,
oh, I even think you're giving it too much credit. I think it's going to, I think there's going to be much more like Wonka trivia involved.
Oh, you think so? Oh, see, I see it. I thought of it as being more, cause they don't show any of it, by the way, folks, they just show the sets. So I imagined it would be more like physical, like
what could they, but see, that's my contention.
Here's the Chocolate River, swim through the Chocolate River and get the flag or whatever. I don't know.
Well, see, that's my contention with it. Cause like, it wasn't a physical movie. Like there wasn't a whole lot of it. They literally walk from one fucking room to the next. Like,
right.
Boy, I'll wear this big balloon suit and try not to get hot. Like, don't get popped by the fan.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, that's a, you know, that's gotta be one of them. It's going to be that shit. It's going to be that shit. It's going to be, let's, you know, all everyone swim in the thing and don't get sucked into the fucking whatever.
Some partner is going to get, they're going to wear these big juice suits. And it's going to be like, you have to juice your blueberry partner. Yeah.
Are you a bad egg? We'll see on today's challenge. Will I watch one episode to just get my eyes on it? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. It's funny when you like, I don't know. We've been talking about this a lot because we recently did an episode of Masters of the Universe. And, you know, this is the summer of like, indie horror movies doing really well. Indie horror movies that are like creepypasta movies doing well. And then like Masters Universe and Star Wars failing. So it's a weird summer. But like, what is the cachet for Willy Wonka as an IP?
Yeah. Well, again, it could be a good cachet if you do. So like, this is indicative of what you just talked about, where it's a bigger problem. Where for years and years and years now, like 20 fucking years, Hollywood has catered to specifically people who grew up in the late 70s to early to mid 90s.
Right.
And they did that 20 years ago. It has been 20 years since, and they don't have a new fucking game plan. So now
people
who already got their fill, they got 20 years of their fill, now are like, I'm good.
Well, and I think the reason superheroes aren't doing as well as they were, besides the Marvel fatigue, is that if you're like 20 now, you grew up with it, so to you it's baby shit.
Yeah.
So you're like, I don't want this. Like this, you have to be an adult to want the nostalgia. But if you're becoming an adult, you were like, I don't want to watch.
You're interested in the Backrooms now and Oblivion, these other movies.
All right. So the next trailer we looked at was for a show that's coming out at the end of this month. Batman Caped Crusader Season 2. Did you see Season 1?
Yes, I really liked Season 1. I thought it was too. This was an example of something that was like a good update, because I think a lot of people, because it's got like Bruce Timm behind it.
And it looks a lot like it.
And it looks a lot like it. But obviously it's not going to have Kevin.
Right, because he passed away.
Yeah, Kevin Conway. Conroy. And it does enough new that I appreciated it. It felt like the stuff that they were putting in that was familiar to me was more of a nod than just a full scale like, hey, look at this thing from your childhood.
Yeah, it felt like, well, like, so originally they had wanted it to be just more Batman animated series, and Bruce Timm said no, but he said I could give you like something else. I could give you like a remix of it, and that's kind of what it is. Like, what I think is really interesting is like Season 1 had a female Penguin.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally like a remix. Like, in this trailer,
And they do the thing where it's, like, more small-scale crime.
Yes. In this trailer, we see, like, Harley Quinn, but she looks completely different. She looks, like, gold and white. She's not red at all. And we see a very cool-looking Poison Ivy. You know, I really like the interesting changes it makes. And it does look like they're introducing a Joker in this, which I guess is inevitable. But we'll see what they do. They also seems to have a Riddler who looks more like a gangster than he's ever been.
Well, that's what I like about it, is that they seem to be really honing in on like Batman. Because a lot of, for a long time, people got really villain happy with Batman.
Yes.
Where it's like, we have focus, even the Nolan movies, like, I love them.
Yeah.
But like, the big thing, at least from the public's perception, was like, oh, who's going to be the big villain in this movie?
Right.
And I'm glad they're kind of walking, even in the Matt Reeves Batman movie.
Yeah.
Which I really like. I think,
yes, that me too.
The more time passes, the more I'm like, this is like an S tier Batman adventure.
Yeah.
And it's because, yes, the Riddler's in it, but it's way more like, again, they do a younger Batman, so it helps, but like, it's way more about him like fighting like the gritty, like grimy, like thugs of the city.
Yes.
As opposed to like the big comical villains.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's what this show does.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Batman, you know, sometimes there's things that I think they do tons of spinoffs of, and it's like, it's not there to do it. But Batman, I think, is a just extremely rich thing. I mean, we're talking about Gotham. You know, I thought that the Penguin show was really good.
Yeah.
Like better than I thought it was going to be. So this, I'm for this, you know? And I think another thing that it does that he wanted to do with animated series but wasn't allowed to was make it more serialized.
Yes.
And that's what you saw in the first season, and I think that's what you're going to see more. You're going to see again now of, like, it's not just these little one-offs like they were forced to do on Fox Kids. Like, he can make a larger tale.
Yeah.
And I also, like, he kind of has that 50s Batman look of, like, the ears kind of coming out a little bit.
Mm.
It's a small thing, but it's enough of a difference that it reminds you of something in the past.
Oh yeah, and they lean into like the Gotham version they have here is, I know the Bruce Timm one originally was based on this a lot too, but the Bruce Timm one was based on the Tim Burton one, which was like a good like updated 1940s look.
Yeah.
This is like full steam ahead into the 1940s.
Right, that was like a vague, we can make it look like that architecture, but you don't want to confuse kids.
Yeah.
Where this is like, this takes place in the past.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Ah, boy. So the next one I want to talk about is Digger.
Okay, good. Because what the fuck is this?
Right. So there's two teasers for Digger out. And one is, they're basically the same, but one has a supercut of Tom Cruise in his whole career. Like, and I saw this in the theater, which is even more bizarre. I
don't know what this was. I watched this.
It's
three
some stupid
times.
Comedy.
Yeah,
but they're being like, hey, you know who's the greatest ever? Tom Cruise. Well, this is the pinnacle. It's really like saying this is the pinnacle of this man's entire life. Are you ready for this? And it just looks like some dumb comedy.
Yeah,
but this trailer, which is, I think they call it like career retrospective or tribute or whatever, it's just a supercut of him in every other movie he's ever made. And it's, I mean, what shouts we don't have faith in what we are more than this?
I was just about to, that's basically the exact point I was about to make, because in an era where having a, like a name as an actor is worth less than ever.
Yeah.
This screamed of like, we just don't know how to sell this movie.
Yeah.
Because I know
all.
What people are going to do. They're going to be like, oh, well, wasn't it like a fun? No, it wasn't. Because there was no real like joke at the end of it. It wasn't like you've seen him in Jerry Maguire and Days of Thunder and like all these other things, Top Gun, but then you never seen him like this. And then like there was like a big punchline at the end of it.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like more mystery. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well,
and he's dancing around.
I'm sorry. I wish you would have spent that like minute and a half just giving
showing
me, more
me a movie, showing me a
because
trailer.
You know what would have been worth more is if you let me know Tom Cruise is in the movie, because I'm not a fucking idiot. I'll know it's him if I see him. And then you spend the next minute and a half showing me him in a situation I've never seen him in. Then I'll go, oh my God, like, did you see that Tom Cruise trailer? You won't believe
right.
what he's doing in this.
Right. This is something so cynical about it and sad about it. This could be like the worst trailer of all time. When I first saw it, I was like, what, this is a fan video? I couldn't believe that this was an actual trailer that was put out for a motion picture. I couldn't believe it. And by the way, look, I know people love Tropic Thunder. I don't think Tom Cruise can do comedy. I don't think he's funny at all. I think to be funny, you have to understand the world. And he's such an alien who lives in his own weird world. He doesn't have the ability to be funny.
You can tell. So I just looked up the premise of this movie online.
Yeah.
And you can tell this is going to be a bad movie. Because you know when they... let me tell you the premise first. The most powerful man in the world races to prove he's humanity's savior before the disaster he unleashed destroys everything. That to me says, again, you're not telling us more about this movie because you're not confident in it.
Yeah. Also, I don't remember who said this. I'm classic for quoting people that I don't remember who said it, but I always give credit as it not being mine. I saw somebody online saying the fact that it has a log line that says like an apocalyptic comedy or whatever, it's never a good sign when you have to tell me it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Like, and also like, and from the little bit, it's like you couldn't be more like, from the little bit that's actual new footage, it feels like it's trying to be like Dr. Strangelove. Like it's trying to be Kubrickian.
Right. Like this is serious comedy, but he's a wacky guy.
Yeah.
He's got this power, movie. But he's going to undercut it all by being a crazy dude.
I think he's been in great movies, but I've never loved him. He's never drawn me in any way. There's been things I've been like, yeah, that was a good job, but I've never
gone to a movie just because I heard Tom Cruise is in it.
No. And he has, you know, one of the cool things that happens with artists is they age, and like you look at like
he's
older
afraid
actors.
To age.
Right. He's used magic or science or whatever to not age. So he has he's deprived himself of a third act in a way.
Yeah. How old is he right now? Let's play that game that we play every once in a while. How old do you think Tom Cruise is?
67.
64.
Ooh.
But yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him. This is a picture of him from this year.
Yeah. Yeah. He accomplished what Michael Jackson wanted to.
Yeah. Like that's a 64-year-old man, I guess, if you have the money and
right
hair.
Like, so if that's what you look like, and he doesn't look as crazy as Michael Jackson looked, right? Obviously, he was misguided, where Cruise obviously has better people around him. But how can you even play a human? Like, who? Like, he's going to play 40-year-olds for the rest of his life? Like, it just... You become so divorced from reality. Anyway, fuck this movie. The last trailer we looked at was a documentary called We Are Pat, which...
This time, I'm way more fascinated by.
Me too. It's a documentary made by, I believe, a genderqueer director. I think it's a... I'm not sure how the director identifies. But if you don't know Pat was... In the 90s, SNL was all about its characters and like having catchphrases and every week getting the character you want. So like whether it be Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World or the copier guy. Say it again.
No, I was saying the making copies guy.
Yeah, the making copies guy or church lady. There was a character named Pat played by a female performer,
Julia Sweeney.
Yes, Julia Sweeney.
Yeah,
and the whole joke, the entire joke, was that the people around Pat could not guess their gender.
Yeah, Pat would wear like thick Coke bottle glasses and like a rodeo style shirt.
Right, and spoke in a high pitched voice, and is it a good performance? It's good in that it does.
It doesn't.
You can read it both ways, but never in the world of these sketches does anyone just say that there's a such thing as genderqueerness. Yeah. And also, like, it's always the joke is always like everyone quit and no one can figure it out, and they're trying to get Pat. Like, oh, Pat, we're having a Halloween party. The women are bringing hors d'oeuvres, and the men are bringing liquor. So what are you gonna bring?
I'm gonna bring myself.
Yeah, and it's like, and then the movie stars Charles Rocket as a person who literally loses his mind and goes insane trying to figure out what gender Pat is. It's a perfect example, by the way, of like, I guess, conservatives, because they're so obsessed with what's in people's pants and what they do in the bathroom. It's all they can think about. So Pat's super problematic now, but it's this genderqueer filmmaker or queer filmmaker. I don't know. I haven't watched the movie yet, and I don't know the director. Talking about how like they feel like Pat, they still find Pat entertaining, and they when they saw Pat as a kid, there was something about Pat that they saw themselves in. So it looks like a kind of love letter, but also like a real examination of why this was a thing at all. Pat really is a relic of the 90s, right? Like it is not, it is aged like milk.
You know who did a draft of that movie?
Yeah. The absolute fucking worst. Quentin Tarantino.
Yep.
Yeah. I think he was dating Julia Sweeney. I don't know if it was before or after or what. That movie is fucking terrible.
It's not a great, it's not a great, it's no Stuart Saves His Family.
I like Stuart Saves His Family. I know it was a huge failure. I always thought it was good.
No, it's a good movie.
It's a genuine dramedy.
Yes.
It's Pat. I don't think did It's Pat even have a theatrical release?
Oh, yeah, no, it did.
It did? God. Let's see what the current Rotten Tomato score is on It's Pat. Let's see. Let's take a gant. It's Pat. Ooh. What do you guess, Vin?
Rotten Tomato score?
Yeah.
Oof. Because now I'm trying to think, is it going to be better or worse than I expect it to be?
Because it's an old...
Were you about to say because it's an old movie, it probably doesn't have that many.
No, it has probably every major newspaper at the time. There's 11 reviews here.
Okay. I'm going to put the over under at 5%.
It's a rare zero.
Wow.
0%. Now there's 5,000 user ratings, but we're 30.
Okay.
Real bad stuff. Real hard stuff. Yeah.
It's still technically like a 600% increase.
Yes. Wow. It's amazing that this movie's really forgotten, because when you look at Rotten Tomatoes, they'll add later retrospective reviews, right? That means no one's really even thought about this movie since it came out.
Well, I can see how it gets lost in the shuffle of like bad and cult movies, because it's not good enough to have that, like, to have picked up that cult following. And it's such a product of its time where, unless you're like younger people, probably no fucking clue about It's Pat. But like, probably you, me, and people up to like, you know, 10 to 15 years older than us, that was probably in their zeitgeist of like, you know, early 90s SNL.
One of these critics from 26 years ago is something called efilmcritic.com, which must not exist, because I clicked on it and it brought me to some cam porn site.
Okay.
and the reason I clicked on it, by the way, was 26 years ago, this critic wrote, "I can't even dignify this film with a review." So I was like, is there really no review? Then it says, you know, there was a link that says go to full review. Click on that link. It bounces around a couple different domains. We're up to fourth domain here.
Oh my God.
Oh, now I don't know what the fuck this is. No, this isn't porn. This is something else. This is just some weird spam. Wow. Somebody said 21 years ago, the Mountain Express from Asheville, North Carolina said, "Dear God, ...
See, that and the other one you just read, I don't like those. Because I don't like when people pull this, like, it's so bad, I didn't even have anything to write. It's like, well, that's your fucking job. So figure
out. Right. No, there's no integrity in not reviewing a film whether that was like, your job to review it.
This is like, I always go to this example, but it's never not the correct example. When the Angry Video Game Nerd put out a video.
Yeah.
When he was like, when the 2016 Ghostbusters came out, was like, I'm just not going to review it. But you putting out a video, exactly. First of all, so brave. Second, you putting out a video talking about why you're not going to see it is itself a review of the film. You didn't see the film,
right?
But you're signaling to your audience that this movie is not worth seeing. You could have not done any video. That same year, RoboCop remake came out. You didn't fucking put out a video saying you weren't going to see that because it ruined your childhood.
Well, it's not a lady RoboCop.
Oh, excuse me.
Ill, gross, ladies.
Yeah.
Gross. All right. I've had enough of this. Let's take a break. We'll come back with the show sesh. Welcome back to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. This is the chill sesh. This is the sesh where we chill. Vin, what have you been chilling with? What have you been reading, watching, listening to, playing?
I've been getting into mobile gaming for some reason.
Okay.
Because I used to play some games on my mobile phone, but sure. Then like I just fell out of it because you know with a lot of mobile games, it's like they got that like like play to win kind of shit going on, right? Where it's like every time you see a game where it's like, oh, this is kind of interesting, that's like, oh, you were you're timed out for the next 3 days unless you pay us money. It's like,
okay. They get you addicted, and
they
then
they give you a little taste.
Yeah, like, or sometimes there'll be a game where it's like you could beat the first 5 levels, but then it's just literally impossible to beat the 6th level without you paying to get some sort of upgrade.
Yes. But I've been getting back into it because I'm like, there's got to be some games that are like either have a good balance or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Bejeweled, which is like a match 3 puzzle game.
Oh, I'm familiar with it. I don't play it, but I'm familiar with it.
Oh, yeah, I love it. And that's one where you can pay for it, but it's only a couple bucks to get everything.
Okay.
But then, like, even if you like, I don't pay for it, and it's just you get an ad after your game is over.
Okay.
So like you could be playing for like a half hour and then, okay, you get an ad and then you could play again, which is like, that's completely, I like that. Like,
so what do you do? Do you do it on the toilet? Do you do it before
bed? I do it laying in bed. I do it a lot like before bed.
Do you listen to something while you're doing it?
Yeah. A lot of times I'll like put on like a YouTube video or like I've been watching a lot of this guy camping with Steve.
Okay.
Guy who does stealth camping, where he'll just like camp. He'll be like, oh, like today I'm camping in this bush enclave in the middle of a highway meridian. And it's like, great. And he's always worried about getting caught, but he lives in Canada where they're going to like do nothing to him.
Yeah.
Like fun. Whenever he's crossing the street, he's like, okay, there's no cars. I got to run. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah,
nobody's looking Canada. At him. He's like, people are going to see me with this big backpack.
Stealthy. Think I'm camping.
Stealthy. Yeah. And then I'm also reading, reading a book on Van Halen. Called Everybody Wants Some by Ian Christie with about the Van Halen saga. And that's fascinating.
All right, Van.
I know. David Lee Roth is the thing I'm getting from this book thus far is that David Lee Roth is a very charismatic. He's the kind of guy that's like, I could see someone meeting him and being like, oh, wow, it's Diamond Dave. Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
And he's probably very charismatic. But then, like, if you hang out with him long enough, you're like, when's this fucking guy going to leave?
Yeah, he seems shitty. Remember when he replaced Howard Stern on terrestrial radio?
Boy, do I. I wrote a whole article about that. Go to vinforte.substack.com to read that. And just look up Howard Stern and you'll find it. But, yeah, as a big radio person growing up, I remember that. Do you remember the end of his run on radio?
No. Okay, he have a long run?
Not at all. It lasted like a month.
Okay.
Lasted to the end
of the month.
It lasted like 2 months. It was basically, so he replaced, for people don't know, when Howard Stern went to satellite at the end of 2005, that January, which is normally when radio stations do a lot of their big changes, the station he was on here in New York, and other stations, well, the station he was K-Rock, rock radio station, as a reaction to him leaving, they flipped formats to an all like hot talk station.
Uh-huh.
And they replaced him in New York and a bunch of other big markets with David Lee Roth. Right. And
they gave him a ton of money. It's like everything they should have given to Stern while they had him, they didn't. And they gave it to this idiot.
Yeah, they gave it to him and he sucked. But to be fair, they kind of didn't know what to do with him. What he should have done if he really wanted to get into radio and if they wanted to like. Groom is the wrong word now, but like, you know what I'm trying to say, to like prep him for being in that position is they should have given him a music based show where he can just talk a little more.
Right.
And like present rock music. Cause like people with like Alice Cooper has done a radio show.
Yeah.
He doesn't anymore, but he did a radio show across the country for years. But no, they just thrust him right into the biggest star ever's leaving. and
Right.
we're gonna do you. But then near the end of his run, when like the writing was really on the wall and he knew it, he would literally come into work and read comics out of the newspaper.
Wow.
So he would basically like open up and that was like the most fascinating stuff, because it was clearly him like in defiance of like knowing that they wanted him out, because it became pretty clear by the end of that like 2 month period or whatever it was.
Wow.
That they really wanted Opie and Anthony. And
right.
David Lee Roth was basically the fall guy. And the reason they brought him in as the fall guy and were willing to pay him all that money is because when you're replacing someone as big as Howard Stern, regardless of what you think of him as a person, you never want to be the guy to replace the guy, because then you're going
right.
to be compared to the guy.
Yeah.
But if you can be the guy who replaces the guy that we don't like, that replaced
right.
the guy.
Yeah.
Now you're being compared to David Lee Roth and not Howard Stern.
Right.
So he was the
so,
fall
but you,
guy.
So do you really, that's really what it was? Or is
oh,
that
oh
your
yeah.
belief?
No, it's my belief, but it's also like, I would be very, very surprised if the real answer was like, oh yeah, no, we just happened to pick Opie and Anthony, like, because they had those two guys like ready to go when they were getting rid of David Lee Roth.
Did David Lee Roth do radio anywhere else?
No.
So then how did his name even come up? Like, that's what's crazy.
I guess I just thought like he's an interesting guy, or it was probably one of those like dumb executive decisions that you always hear where it's like, oh, I heard an interview with this guy, you know, he's got a great persona, he would be great on radio. Like,
yeah,
I heard him on Howard once, like he should replace him.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So how far are you into that book? It's a good book.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through. Yeah, Van Halen's very, very interesting. And then, like, speaking of replacements, like, you know, after their biggest album ever, 1984, like, David Lee Roth was replaced.
Yeah.
With Sammy Hagar.
What are your feelings on him?
As a person, or just as, like, the replacement for David Lee Roth?
As a replacement. As the band. The band afterwards.
Okay, so I think a lot of fans, and I would include myself in this, have come down on this side, that if you're talking about the definitive iter, like when you think Van Halen, you think of them with David Lee Roth. There's no question. But to say that they did not have success with Sammy Hagar and to discount their run with him would be very dismissive, because they did have hit album. They had multiple. They had like four hit albums, like platinum selling albums
with Hagar. With him.
Yeah, and they had big hits too. They had like Love Walks In, Dreams. You know, like they had a whole bunch of Right Now, which was a huge song. Like in the early 90s. Like, so they had hit songs, but the style definitely, at least on those first two albums, when he came in, got more like ballad based, like more synthesizers, less guitars. And then in the 90s, they kind of tried to get more back into guitars. It was just a different vibe.
Did David Lee Roth leave to go do something he wanted to do, or was he kicked out?
He was basically kicked. They basically kicked him out.
So the rest, they didn't get along with him.
They just didn't get along. And then they kicked Sammy Hagar out in 1996. And then David Lee Roth, they attempted to have a comeback. They put out a greatest hits album in 1996. And the big draw with that, outside of it genuinely being a well-curated collection, that was my entree into Van Halen. And that sold like a million units. But on that album, they recorded two new songs of David Lee Roth and put them on that album.
Oh, okay.
And that was supposed to be like a little taste, like, hey, we're putting these two on the greatest hits set. But now then we're going to like go on tour. We're going to have a new album. And very quickly that fell apart. So they never did a new album.
Why did it fall apart? The same old reasons?
The same old business. But then they got back together in 07, and then they toured until Eddie Van Halen died.
Oh, okay. Interesting. What am I chilling? I last week, me and Jen went to see a play, and you know, we see a lot of Broadway shows, but you know, we don't see a lot of plays. I mean, we saw Death of a Salesman, which was incredible, but that's also Broadway. That's a big thing. So we saw a small play. So we saw a play called Dad Don't Read This. And it's kind of, it's funny, but it's also sad. It's about four teenage girls in the early 2000s, and it's in one of the girls' bedrooms, and it's like a couple different sleepovers, and they are obsessed with the game The Sims.
Okay.
To the point where, like, there's Sim sound sometimes, and, like, they do, like, the fast Sims motion in the play. And it's all about, like, control and having control of your life and these young people that don't have control of their life but have control of The Sims and, you know, how to be, you know, how to become the Grim Reaper, how to ooh, what do they call sex? Woo-woo?
Woo-woo?
How to woo-woo, how to have two gay people woo-woo, how to make that happen, or have them try for a baby. I never played. But, like, there's some – Jen was a Sims person, and she was like, yeah, they were driving some deep Sims lore in here. Oh, so yeah. it was fun to – it was just a really good show, and it had, like, a, you know, dance, and it was just fun. It was like, a small little theater. It was in the Greenwich Theater. But, like, this is a New York Times pick, critics pick. And so I think it's going to go for a while. And it was just really good. It was just very good. And we were just like, yeah, we need to see more plays. Because plays are also cheap, too.
Oh, yeah. Like, now, did this make you want to play The Sims?
That's a great question. It made Jen really want to play The Sims again. I played The Sims. I never played The Sims proper because I never played it on a PC. I played, I forget which console version of The Sims. But I was such a, I don't know, dumb gamer, or, like, you know, I was just like, I got what the point of the game was. I'm not that stupid, but it didn't appeal to me. I was like, I just want a platformer or to shoot things. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I had no.
You never did the SimCity games. You're like, I don't want to manage a town. Like,
no. I murdered people. You know what I mean? I did that thing right away. Like, oh, yeah, I'll put a guy in a room with four walls and no door and watch him die.
Well, here's the question. If you're into more like that kind of stuff, like I just want to sort of slip away and mindlessly fight people or whatever. Were you ever into the Grand Theft Auto games? That, you know, coming out.
Yeah, I mean, two for sure. Two. And I was kind of like that because I never beat it. I rarely went on the missions.
Yeah.
I would just. Speaking of Howard Stern, I would get up early. I was in college at the time. I would get up early and put on Stern and then just, like, drive around like I was cruising or something. Like, just drive around doing crazy shit, not really doing any of the it was actually a really good metaphor for my life at the time, now that I think about it. Just driving around, not going anywhere, not achieving any objective.
Yeah.
Were you a big Grand Theft Auto person?
Yeah, I liked, my favorite was Vice City. Because was
that,
I think,
which one was that? Was that right after 2?
That was right after 3.
Right after 3.
And that was set in the 80s. It was basically, like, loosely based on Scarface.
Oh, right. Yes, yes.
And people sometimes, like, discount that. Well, not discount it, but they go, like, oh, well, how could that be your favorite? Like, the island in that one was so much smaller than the other games. I'm like, but it had way more personality from, like, the period specific music on the radio stations to, like, all the neon, the outfits, the cars. Like, give me more Grand Theft Autos like that.
Yeah.
Where, like, because they did one for PlayStation that wasn't even a full game. And back then it was just, like, they were top down. Yeah, like, it wasn't 3D yet.
Uh-huh.
Because the first two games were like that. And for the original Grand Theft Auto, they did an expansion pack, which was a disc, and it was London. It was London 1968.
Oh, okay.
And the way it worked on your PlayStation is you had to insert the first Grand Theft Auto disc, then take it out and put in the expansion disc, and then it would let you play.
Okay.
And that was interesting. I wish they had done a 3D one like that, because, again, that one had so much personality, like London 1968. Like,
yeah, that's really fun.
Speak, and, like, it was a whole other country, and, you know, the British invasion during that time. Like, there's so much you can do, but they stopped after Vice City. They never really did. Like, I know the new one's going to be in Miami, so it's kind of like going in Vice City again. So it's kind of going back to that, but it's still modern. Like, I would like a period, another period piece Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, I feel you. What consoles do you currently have?
I currently have a Switch. I don't have a Switch 2.
Uh-huh.
And I have my laptop, which I get stuff off Steam.
Okay. Yeah, I have a Switch, original Switch, and a PS4. I've not I've been interested, very interested in this generation of consoles, but it's just so gosh darn money, much money. Even Switch 2 is more money. Like, what made Switch so great was its affordability and its accessibility and its user, like, it was perfect Nintendo vibe. And the Switch 2 is like, it's just a little too much. And I know I'm missing out on incredible stuff.
Well, you should. Do you not have a Steam account?
No, I don't.
You really should. Like, because it's just, on your laptop, on your computer, like wherever. And a lot, like most of the games that come out for these other consoles, like also come out for Steam. It's not, like 10 years ago. Especially like a lot of the like indie games like come out on Steam first, or they come out in early access.
So you play it on a PC
On my
or a...
on my laptop.
See, I have a Mac. Is that
Okay, but
good?
that
Does that
yeah, you
work?
yeah, they have Steam for a Mac. It's just like in like a desktop client or like the website. You go into like steam.com and you download game, you basically just buy games there, like you would buy them off like the Nintendo eShop. And they're always having tons of sales too.
On
Like that's the
Steam.
other good thing about Steam. Like deep discounts. Like sometimes there's games that are like that were originally like 30, 40 bucks that then during their sale periods will be like, five, $9.
Interesting. Well, what else am I chilling with? I saw Backrooms. I finally saw Backrooms.
How was it?
The other day, I went to work, and after like an hour, I was like, I don't want to be here today at all.
I'd rather live in the back rooms.
So I took PTO for the rest of the day, and I went to see Backrooms. It was me and like two other people in the theater, like early in the day, middle of the week. I liked it a lot. I mean, it is. It's. I'm kind of obsessed with this new like world of like these Gen Z filmmakers, these creepypasta films. I really like Obsession. Obsession's a better film than Backrooms, but Backrooms, just the concept. I mean, we were just talking about it before when you were in that dead mall. Just being in the back rooms is so fascinating. It's just so interesting. So I really enjoyed it.
And it's like a new crop. Like, is the guy, the person who did Back Rooms is like 17 years old or some shit. Like,
He's like 20 or 21 now, but he started during the pandemic as a teenager making these things, which is crazy.
yeah, like it's crazy that horror is now coming back around as like the hit thing in Hollywood. Because these movies, and it just goes to show you, like, these movies cost like almost nothing to make. And it's like, so it's like, why not take more risks on
I think
smaller
they are.
projects?
I
I think
think
they are now.
I think Sinners kind of opened the door for it,
I
and
was, yeah, like I was looking at, because I was interested in that new Godzilla Minus Zero coming out later this year. And I was looking up some stuff on Godzilla Minus One. And do you know how much that movie cost to
No.
make? $15 million.
Wow.
Like nothing for like a huge, and
For
that
like a
movie
big,
apparently, and that movie was like huge globally.
Well, we spend too much money on movies. I mean, it's crazy.
And when you spend that much money, then they have to make back, like
They
you
have to
hear
make
these
it
so
back twice or triple, whatever the fuck it's supposed to be.
you hear these stories about movies where it's like, oh, it made, $400 million worldwide this weekend. And then you hear a story right afterwards like, yeah, too bad. It's like, what do you mean? Like, oh, yeah, no, it's only, it needs to make back like three times that to be. It's like, well, then something's wrong.
Right, exactly. But this is the summer of all of it crashing. The only
It should.
the last test is Spider-Man. If Spider-Man doesn't do good, then this will have been the summer the blockbuster like died.
Yeah, and I'm
Or
sure,
this
look,
kind of
I'm,
blockbuster.
yeah, and I'm, and I don't know how this Spider-Man's gonna do. It could really go either way because I love Spider-Man. I'm gonna see it because I love Spider-Man. But someone told me like 3 weeks ago, oh yeah, Spider-Man, yeah, you gonna see Spider-Man later this month? I'm like, oh, it's coming out.
I
It's
know
no
I should
longer like, remember when it would be like nobody, I feel like nobody has that feeling anymore of like, oh, it's coming out this summer finally. Then a couple months go by, it's like,
Just me,
there,
just me, but I'm an old person. So I'm in my own world. Like, and I loved Masters of the Universe. I loved Supergirl. I literally was, I was so, I talked about this in the last podcast. I was so shocked when everyone else didn't. I was like, wow, like, boy, is my finger far from the pulse. I loved it, you know?
Yeah.
And Mandalorian Grogu, I thought it was fun. You know, I didn't hate it. It was like, eh, it was fine. It didn't offend me. It didn't hurt me. You know,
well, that one shouldn't have been a movie. That one was like,
right. But all those movies failed basically. Yeah. I do think that there's a lot of sexism involved in the Supergirl, and also the continued James Gunn hate by people that have made being fans of Zack Snyder like their personality.
Where are these people in real life? I have never met one of these people in the actual world touching grass. I see them online.
Yeah.
I hear tale of them every once in a while where it's like, all the Snyder fans are coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
I'm like looking out my window, like where are they?
Maybe we don't go to the right places. Like maybe we need to
we gotta go to Comic-Con this year.
No, I was gonna say something more like,
we gotta storm the Capitol.
Yeah, that's what we gotta do. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back with our current obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. This is Obsessions. This is where we talk about the pop culture we're currently obsessed, the thing that is sort of sticking in our mind. Vin, go first. What are you currently obsessed with?
I am currently obsessed with, big surprise, something wrestling related. I'm watching a lot of Joshi wrestling.
Tell me about that. What is that?
That is female Japanese wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Which is has been growing in popularity for quite some time. Much more hard-hitting style than people would think.
Uh-huh.
When you say like, oh, women's wrestling. But if you've watched wrestling in America for the past like 10 years specifically, female women's wrestling has like really come leaps and bounds. Like women have wrestled, really? have main evented WrestleMania. And like a lot of that style that has influenced the American product has started in Japan. And it's like one of its strongest points right now. And there's a bunch of different promotions over there. There's Stardom, there's Marigold, there's Marvelous, there's Sendai Girls. There's a bunch of other ones. And if anyone wants to check out some of them, like just go online, just look up Joshi Wrestling, and any of the promotion names I mentioned. A lot of them put matches up for free online.
Is that where you see it?
Yes. And I also have a login that someone gave me for Wrestle Universe, which is a service that has a bunch of different male and female Japanese promotions on it, a streaming service. So I get a lot of stuff through that. And then also I've been getting back into like Lucha Libre wrestling.
Oh, okay.
AAA, CMLL. Lucha is definitely like there's a promotion called AAA that was recently bought by WWE last year. And to their credit, they have not really like fucked with it that much.
Uh-huh.
I think they know what they have and they want to really like dig into the Mexican market. And it's been really good. And they put a lot of it up. They do a weekly program every Saturday night and they play it up for free on their YouTube channel. So that's very accessible. If people want to get into that.
Let's say someone was only a fan of WWE.
Mm-hmm.
How is Japanese wrestling different or similar?
The pageantry, it's different because of like the pageantry. They treat it more like a real sport. Like in Japan right now, in New Japan Pro Wrestling, every year around this time, it's going on this month, they do something called the G1 Climax, where it's basically a month-long tournament.
Okay.
A month-long round-robin tournament where basically wrestlers are like fighting each other, fighting different people like every day. It's like a big gauntlet kind of thing. And then the winner gets basically a title shot at their biggest show of the year in the Tokyo Dome on January 4th.
Okay. And so how is female different?
It's not as it's different in relation to America
Okay.
And that, again, like a lot of the male Japanese wrestling, there's a lot more pageantry. There's a lot more like style to it. And
Okay.
again, they a lot of promotions, a lot of wrestlers there utilize something called strong style, which
Okay.
is making everything look hard hitting, sort of
Okay.
like when you're punching someone, like you make it really look like you're punching them hard. Or like you do these sort of, if you're a junior weight and you're doing like these dazzling moves off the top rope, you really make it look like, you're taking someone out.
Is the female wrestling in Japan is it male gazey? Is it for the male gaze, or does it?
Yes and no.
Okay.
There's some of it that is, there's some of it that isn't. It really just depends on the wrestler. But the fact that they have such a mix, I guess that is where maybe they're more influenced by the American product, where you do have a good mix of female wrestling in America, where in terms of style, you've got people who, show off their bodies more, but then you have people who, women who really like dig in on more like, I'm tough. I don't care what you think of my body. I'm
Okay.
just here to come in and beat your ass.
Are there any that are like, very, very muscular or overweight?
Oh yeah, no, they're
They're not
yeah,
all like,
they're not all like waifish, like small, like.
because I have very little reference to this, but I remember like the female wrestlers in WWE in like the 90s were all like kind of like bombshell women.
Yeah, and they barely let them wrestle. They were more just like figure. Like that's
Yeah.
why China was such a big deal, because
Okay,
China would
yeah.
come in and she actually would felt like they were presenting her as like a wrestler.
Who was the other one, the other big one that all the boys liked?
Trish Stratus, Mickie James, Sable.
Sable, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Is there where you watch it, is there any dialogue that is subtitled, or you don't need it at all? It's just so physical.
You don't really need it. It's more physical. A lot of promotions like New Japan and Stardom, like they do offer English commentary, and especially
Okay.
with something like New Japan, like they've been doing English commentary for like 10 plus years now. Like, because a lot of these
Okay.
promotions, they do recognize that it's more of like a global thing now. So a
Okay.
lot of them, when they get big enough, they do employ
Will
a
the
female.
commentators comment? I don't know why I can't say the word. Will they like translate and be like, oh, he's saying this?
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Okay. Very cool. So my obsession is from the final season of the show The Bear, and from the final episode, the finale of The Bear. So if you don't want any spoilers for that, it was great having you. This is the end of the show. See you next week. So I thought it was a very good. People have qu talked about like whether it's gone up and down in quality. I do think that the last season wasn't the greatest, but this season I think was very, very strong, and partly because they steal the format. For the most part, they steal the format from another new hit show, The Pit, which is every episode is just more of one night in service in this restaurant. But the thing that really got me and like made me misty-eyed was there was a character last season named Albert who was played by Rob Reiner, and he was like a business kind of guru guy. And one of the characters on the show, Ibra, played by Edwin Lee Gibson, he gives him the idea of like you should franchise the part, one part of the restaurant, the part that makes like the beef sandwiches. So he's not in the season at all, and obviously Rob Reiner passed away. But in the last episode, they decide that they're gonna do this. They're gonna do this franchise, and it's gonna help the business, and it's got a happy ending. But we see a scene where he's talking to Albert on the phone, but we don't hear the other side. But he's blah blah blah, and then the last thing he says is "as you wish," which is an homage to Rob Reiner's The Princess Bride, where in that "as you wish" meant "I love you." And I thought it was such a beautiful, yet subtle, way of honoring him.
Oh yeah, because it's not in your face. If you don't know, you don't know, and it doesn't matter that you don't know.
Right, and he'd be like, okay, he's just saying as you wish. You would think that he's just asking him, you know, can you do this or whatever.
Yeah.
So I thought it was beautiful. Because I love The Princess Bride. I think, it's such a comfort movie. So I thought it was a really classy way, especially in the finale of the whole show. You know, there's a lot going on in this last episode. But the fact that they took the time to, homage him, I thought that was awesome.
Didn't he also, I haven't seen it yet, but I think Robert Irons shows up in the new Larry David series.
Yes, he does, as George Washington.
Oh.
There's a very funny sketch, which is Washington's like, I'm going to step down from presidency. And, I think that presidents who come after me should also have limited terms. And Larry David's just a guy in the crowd. And he's like, yeah, but what if you're like an asshole and you don't want to step down? And he's like, what kind of man would actually be that way? And he's like, well, what if your best friend is a pedophile? And you don't want people talking about that he's a pedophile, so you kind of do this. And he just basically starts describing Trump, and everyone's like, wow, that's horrible. And George Washington's like, I don't, that's far-fetched that anybody could be such, who could be that way? And then there's a cameo from Jimmy Kimmel, and he's like, I don't believe someone could be that way. To be that offended by someone saying something about them on TV, they'd have to be a giant baby. So the whole thing's very funny. It's actually not as political as you think it would be, but that sketch, which I think is in the second episode, is the biggest, like, fuck Trump sketch.
Yeah.
There is another good sketch where he is playing someone who ran for president, and this is a real person who ran for president, I don't remember when, and won the popular vote, but lost because the Electoral College. And I guess he was the first person to do that. And he just flips out. He's like, I won. What do you mean? I won. More people voted for me. And, yeah. And then someone's like, well, sir, you have to understand the Electoral College difference. And they explain it. And he's like, that makes no fucking sense. How could this be?
It doesn't, because it's supposed to be. And people forget that we are a representative government. So the Electoral College represents the states and the popular, but it feels outmoded. It feels like, and I don't even know if this is the real reason, but you could see how that makes sense when you don't know where anyone else is in relation to you in the country. You know what I mean? Like if you're all the way back then when the country was founded, and like, you don't know what the fuck is out there. You don't
Lance know. Lance doesn't vote. People vote.
Yeah. And like, you don't know how, like, if you're in New York at that time, you don't know how many people in Delaware there are. So it's like, it kind of makes sense. Like, oh, we're going to get the current census and delegate people to represent those areas. And then the people who win those, like, I see where the logic is, but in 2026, when there's a fucking camera on every phone, when everything is calculated, when we know exactly how many people are where, what sense does it make to have like, oh, New York gets 5 representatives and then Pennsylvania gets 1 representative and this place gets 3 representatives? It's like, how are we even calculating this anymore? And then we're going to, and every once in a while they add a representative or like take one away based on the population. It's like, how about we just get rid of that altogether and have the population count?
Because, this only ever happens to Republicans. Like, it's only Democrats that win the popular vote and then don't get to win the election.
Yeah.
So, it's going to stay in place so corporations can have their party in and have greater hegemonic control.
I actually really like what we started doing in New York with the ranked choice.
Yes, I agree.
Because it's like, you know what? For people who don't know what ranked choice voting, because it's not everywhere, it is like a fairly recent thing.
Yeah.
Is basically, let's say you've got a mayoral election coming up and you've got a primary. Instead of just voting for one person, maybe you see two people that you like, but you just like this guy a little bit more. Then you know what? You can say, I'm going to vote for these two people, but I'm going to put this guy as my first choice and this person as my second choice.
Right.
Therefore, letting the government basically know, hey, if this guy doesn't get it, throw my vote to this guy. And but, you cannot put anyone in it. So you can literally choose, like, out of eight people, I like these two, and then you rank them. And that way, we don't have a situation where it's like, I guess we got to vote for this guy because he's the only one. It's like, no,
right.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a political podcast.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. We live in a nightmare. All right, so
well, let's not get more political. I was giving you a
more political topic. Oh, this has been PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. We are a podcast that is your one-stop shop for non-toxic fandom and pop culture ephemera, from the old to the new, the retro to the contemporary. We talk about everything, except really sports. Don't really come up unless someone like Vin brings it up. So that's good. We come out every single Wednesday. We have since the dawn of man, and we will until the sun burns us out. Vin, thank you so much for being here. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.